The greatest commandment is the synthesis of the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, of which three pertain to God and seven to our neighbour. And after loving God, we then are able to love our neighbour as ourselves. But notice, God is the source of our charity. And our charity, or mercy, regarding our neighbour, and our neighbour is not the person next door, but the person in need, has 14 modes by which we manifest charity to them. Seven for the body and seven for the soul, called the works of mercy. And so after loving God, we have the ability, therefore, then to love our neighbour or love those in need. We sometimes call the works of mercy social justice, the justice we manifest to others in need. The poor, the sick, those in hospital, the grieving, these are all people in need. I think over the last 40 years we've heard much about the social justice of the church, and in some places the social justice issues have dominated, so much so that people have forgotten or not heard about sin and conversion and God's grace. A balance is needed between the two dimensions of the Decalogue, God and neighbour. And unless the balance is there, it doesn't work. Social justice can become what I call a just excuse, an excuse for not seeking personal holiness. It's only after being united in love with God are we then able to love others as God loves us. One person who lost love of God in their heart and promoted social justice was Judas Iscariot, called to become a saint, but missed the mark. Recall that evening, Holy Thursday, the institution of the Mass and priesthood. That was the night of the betrayal. Judas by now had been a disciple of the Lord, and all of the other apostles thought he was of like mind. Yet he now had a just excuse. In other words, social justice dominated his lifestyle, not personal intimacy with Christ. He had lost what the Protestants would say, a personal relationship with the Lord. Our Lord tried to win him back on that occasion by bringing up the issue of the betrayal. And then all of the apostles, one by one, questioned the Lord, "Is it I, Lord? Am I the one who's going to betray you?" And when it came to the turn of Judas, he had no longer had respect for Christ in his heart. I say that because the other apostles, according to St. John, said, "Is it I, Kurios, Lord God?" They had reverence for the presence of Christ. But when Judas spoke, he said, "Is it I, teacher?" He called him rabbi, teacher. No longer was Christ his Lord. And Jesus said to him, "Thou hast spoken, you have said the word." Three times, if you read carefully the discourse and dialogue of the Last Supper, our Lord tried to win Judas back. And if Judas had have repented and converted, plan B would have kicked in regarding the betrayal. But now Judas had his path set and sought that path. And Jesus said, "Whatever you do, do it quickly." And St. John adds, "And night had fallen." Judas went out into the darkness, spiritual darkness, and lost hope. And all the other apostles thought Judas was off on a social justice concern. He's probably gone out to give money to the poor or get more provisions. They thought he was going to do works of mercy. They did not realize. And so often today in the church, there's priests, bishops, cardinals who are caught up in the social justice issue at the expense of their own personal holiness. And they've lost sight of who is important. We pray that social justice may be a part of our protocol as we live as Christians, how we love the Lord in loving our neighbour. But firstly, let us always begin with Christ, the source of all charity. He must be number one, and when he is, it all works well. As was the case of Peter or Pier Giorgio Frassati, who died in 1925 at Turin in northern Italy. Pope John Paul the Great made him a patron saint of the World Youth Day program, and rightfully so. He died of a sudden illness. He was an extraordinary young man, a university student. His parents were not agnostic, but not big into church or religion. And they were amazed at the piety, the devotion of their son. Such is the workings of God's grace. He was a young man, talented, agile, and loved climbing mountains, big onto sport, but loved God, went to Mass every day, spent hours in adoration, sometimes all night, and took his friends with him. He was a centre of attraction. People liked to be around him because he was fun to be with, joyful, but he had a depth. But behind the scenes, he loved social justice issues. He ended up joining St. Vincent de Paul. He'd go out at night and work in soup kitchens, give money to the needy. He was paying the rent of some widows down the road. When he was at university, his dad was quite wealthy and owned the leading newspaper in northern Italy, apart from being involved in politics, said to his son, "What would you like when you finish your uni course? What can I give you? A car, perhaps? Or the money that would put into a car?" Pier Giorgio Frassati didn't blink, said, "The money, please, Dad." He wouldn't need a car. He gave the money away to the poor. His parents really didn't know what he was on about. He lived at home, but he was so active in the social apostolate. He was always out, seeking the needy, caring for the poor. And after nursing those who were sick and picking up the illness himself and suddenly dying, the church was overfilled at his funeral. And his parents were amazed at not the hundreds, but the thousands of young, sick, poor and needy people that lined the streets outside of the church in honour of their son, Pier Giorgio Frassati. Social justice activist, lover of the poor, was inflamed with the love of God in his heart. And it was from that love of God he was able to love so effectively his neighbour in need. So we pray for the true apostolate that might take root in our hearts, and from a love of God we might seek out those in need and love them as God loves us. Praise be Jesus Christ.